Thank you for tuning in to the best parenting show on the internet, Post Daily Dose.
Good evening, Facebook family, coming to you with an early edition of Post Daily Dose. With me, your trusted parenting advisor, faithful guide, and servant on the healing journey. What's my name? Big Papa Brian Post. Hope everyone's having a fantastic day. Today is my mother's birthday. Happy birthday, Mama. I think I've sang it to her twice today. So we're doing an early edition because I'm going to take the fine lady out for dinner this evening. And so I want to hop on here real quick. And I am going to answer another question that came in. And see if I can't help give Terry and her husband a little Big Papa feedback. So just to read the question for you guys, and I haven't read it all in detail, so I'm going to read it along with you. Hey, I have a question. I'm not certain I am even allowed to message you a question, so feel free to disregard it. Absolutely not. You are absolutely allowed to message Big Papa anytime you have a need. Sometimes I'm a little delayed in responding to some of these questions for Post Daily Dose. However, you can always join us at the newparentinglevolution.com. Then you have access to Big Papa and a lot of other loving, mindful, understanding, and awake parents. We are in the process of adopting a 3-year-old out of the foster care system. 3 years old. In foster care. What do we know about that, Posties? We know that he has already experienced trauma. 3 years old, we know that his amygdala is fully online. Rachel, what's up with you? We know that his amygdala is fully online, hypersensitive, so we know he is stress sensitive, and we know that he's fearful. We don't know all of what his early history is, but let's keep reading. We know that his hippocampus is delayed, right? Talked about this yesterday. Taken into care at birth and placed with a wonderful foster placement we are good friends with. So, now, I made this statement yesterday when I read the question from Melissa, because she said it was a good adoptive placement, a good orphanage, clean. And I said, doesn't matter. Well, I want to qualify that a little bit further. I feel like what happens is as soon as you say a 3-year-old taken out of foster, we're adopting a 3-year-old out of the foster care system, taken into care at birth, as soon as you say placed with a wonderful foster placement, you are in some ways discounting the in utero process and the fact that this child has been in a placement that is not a permanent placement for the last 3 years. That's very important. It could be a wonderful foster placement. And let me tell you something. A wonderful foster placement where a placement is terminated at 3 years old is another significant rejection to the child's neurophysiologic cellular system. It's another serious rejection to the mind-body system. This alone, in addition to the first loss for this child, is going to have an impact. And perhaps even more so because it's been a wonderful foster placement. There's nothing wrong with families who foster a child up to a certain age and then allow that child to be adopted. There's nothing wrong with that. And I don't want you to hear me saying that. What I want you to understand is that this child has developed a regulatory bond with this placement. This placement has helped this child start to develop some sense of regulation, some sense of security, some sense of significant attachment. Now there's going to be another disruption. This is going to have an additional impact. Biggest problem with foster care system is that kids don't get foster, they don't get permanent placements, and they usually don't return to family origin. Whole nother lecture for you guys. So I want you to understand when I make that statement, exactly what it is that I'm meaning. Hey, good evening, Stefan. Mom, Stefan's wishing you a happy birthday. Rachel says, what's the best approach to helping a kid who is a sore loser when it comes to friends and sports? They're just sensitive. Hey, Brenda, they're just sensitive, Rachel. You just have to understand that being a sore loser comes from a deep place of insecurity and not okayness. And so being a sore loser really means I'm not okay with myself. I lost. I'm not okay. I'm not good. You're probably not going to love me anymore. And I'm probably not even going to have a family anymore. I'm not even worthy. So think about that when you start thinking about a kid being a sore loser, how deep that well runs. It runs deep. So meet the needs of the baby in that moment. Don't worry about the sore loser. Help the child regulate, feel okay, develop that sense of security and certainty in their life. They'll eventually be okay. They're just young. They're young, they're very sensitive, and they drop into a very scary, sad place. Okay, so we did respite care for him throughout his life, and he's been with us full-time for 3 months. That's fantastic. This has been impressively challenging. Of course it has been. So you're talking about a three-year-old who, well, so he's been in placement a little after 27 months. He's been with you guys since he was 27 months old, a little after 2 years old. The hippocampus still hasn't come online in the most normal development. So we've got probably a level of diminished oxytocin response. We've got the attachment insecurity, the attachment bond insecurity. So we've got the sensitivity to stress. We've got the fearfulness. So we've got a lot of things working against this little three-year-old already at this time. So yes, we should expect that it's going to be impressively challenging. Impressively challenging is a great word. He seems to be incredibly manipulative and very naughty, but he's three. The amygdala is fully online. So his amygdala is supercharged. Anytime we experience trauma, the amygdala gets supercharged. The hippocampus gets diminished. The hippocampus is supposed to help us start to think clearly and start to help us have short-term memory. Your hypothalamic response can be diminished, can be deficient, can be delayed. It's fantastic that he had a very good foster placement. It's very good that you guys have been able to take care of him. But what you're seeing as manipulation and naughtiness is survival. When we are seeking to survive, when we feel insecure, when our very foundation of life, there's no certainty to our very foundation of life, and at this point, there's no certainty to this child's very foundation of life, you better believe I'm going to be somewhat manipulative because I need to be able to have some certainty in my life. I need to know that something is permanent. The child's not been able to develop any permanence in their life. I need to be able to know that there's some permanence in my life. And you better believe I'm going to be stressed out a great deal of the time. And that's where the naughtiness is coming out. The child's not naughty. The child is stressed out. The child is fearful. The child is overwhelmed. Okay, so I just want to reframe those two things for you because I think it's so important that you just take, God evening to you, Harold, Mr. Harold, just take those lens that you're currently looking through, those lens that say impressively challenging, those lens that say incredibly manipulative, those lens that say very naughty. Take those lens, take those sunglasses right off your face, set them down, step on them, just step on them. They didn't look good on your face anyway. You're so beautiful. You and your husband are so beautiful. Just step on them. Kick them out of the way. Put these on here. Put these on. These big Papa lenses. Put those on. Those are like Ray-Bans. They're light. They're clean. Fresh. Now you look fresh. Now look through those lens. Now we see a 12-month-old. Now we see a scared infant. We don't even see a three-year-old anymore. We see a scared infant, and we see a sad infant. And what we once looked at as incredibly manipulative, we're now looking at as terrified. As terrified and confused. What we were just a moment ago looking at as very naughty, we are now looking at is very stressed out and just not able to feel safe. Just not feeling loved. That's what we're looking at now. So now what we have is we have a vessel. We have a vessel of fear that we have got to pour love into. We're going to pour love right into it. And as we pour love right into it, all the way down to the bottom, the fear is going to start to run out. It's going to start to run out onto the dry earth and go away. That's what we're looking at now. We got these big Papa Ray-Bans on. All right, so I get that, but there seems to be very little we can do to provide consequences that are at all effective. This has been impressively challenging. He seems to be incredibly manipulative and very naughty, but he's 3. So I get that, but there seems to be very little we can do to provide consequences that are at all effective, which I can deal with that part, but a 3-year-old in the best of circumstances can't learn from consequences. Their brain's not developed yet. Their brain is not developed to a level that says, if I do this, this is going to happen an hour from now. A 3-year-old is very present in the moment. Their brain doesn't retain enough short-term memory at this point and develop in the most natural, in the healthiest, most optimal developmental environment. This child is 12 months at best of even beginning to have any ability to think in the midst of his stress and not be completely primal, and to begin the seeds of being able to have any kind of short-term memory. Eesh. 12 months could even be a stretch. Oh, you've got a traumatized child in your home. You got a traumatized 3-year-old. You got a baby in your home. You got a baby in your home. A baby. You don't have a 3-year-old. You have a baby. Are you going to really consequence a baby? No. No. My husband and I have been listening to your book and From Fear to Love, and we really get from listening to it that he is in a fear state. You don't really get it. Ooh, but you want to. You're trying. Stefan says he feels a Ray-Ban deal coming. You're trying. You're absolutely right. It is hard to de-escalate violence when you're being punched, Shari. And I've done a couple of daily dose on violence and aggressiveness. And I want you to dig into our videos in the past and think about those. You're trying to believe that he's in a fear state, but when you understand that someone is in a fear state, you don't see manipulation and being naughty. When you understand fear, you understand stress. Not even that. You've got an infant in your home. I want you guys to stop thinking of him as 3 and start thinking of him as an infant. This made a lot of sense to me. Good. As we invest concentrated positive time into his little being, we find he gets more and more and more clingy. As we invest concentrated positive time into his little being, we find he gets more and more and more clingy and controlling. Oh, God. Ugh. Why wouldn't an infant get clingy and controlling? The only time we're controlling is when we're scared and stressed. Tiffany Fields did a research with infants. She hooked these two infants up to brain monitors. The brain monitors looked exactly the same when the healthy parent got up and walked away from her baby in comparison to when the stressed and depressed parent walked towards her baby. The brain monitors looked exactly the same when the healthy parent got up and walked away from her baby. Natural brain chemistry, natural brain reaction to an infant losing their significant figure, even in the moment, is stress. That's natural. Imagine if the infant feels that every time the parent walks towards them. So when you say the more and more you invest positive time in your little one, he becomes more clean, controlled. Jesus, sweet Jesus, he just lost. First of all, he lost his biological mother. He's been in a home for over 2 years. Now he's lost that home. Now he's in a new home. Should he not be a little bit clingy? And would you not be a controlling mofo if you now had some person expressed some love and some happiness, some pleasantness in seeing you, and they want to be with you, and all of a sudden they get up to leave? Would you not get a little bit controlling about that? Oh my goodness. A baby, 12 months. Babies should be clingy. Babies should be controlling, if there's such a thing. There's no such thing as controlling. The only time we seek to control is when we're stressed out and scared. And then you're just stressed out and scared. It's not about control. It's about being stressed out and scared, trying to make your world safe. He's trying to make his world safe. He should be clingy. You want him to be clingy to you. Thank God he's clingy to you and not pushing you away and completely shut down. Completely stiff as a board and not wanting anything to do with you. You, because he's had some love and affection and consistency in his life, he is open to regulation. He's open to relationship. He hasn't been deeply wounded by being abused and maltreated. So you've got a baby with a brain that's ready, it's hungry. Of course he's going to hold on to you. He shouldn't freaking leave your side for the next 2 years. You want to repair the damage that's been done? Keep them with you for the next 2 years. I mean, think about all the times when you're going to have to go off and leave this child who's now biggest wounded. His biggest woundedness is abandonment. Every time you leave this child, he's going to drop into abandonment. Every single time, he's going to drop into abandonment. So it feels like we're going backward and making him manageable. No, you're not. You're not going backwards and making him manageable. It's not about making him manageable. It's about helping him get regulated and feel safe and secure. You help his brain learn to regulate stress. He's traumatized. He is grieving. He's sad. Give it time. Give it time. Give it time. Does that get better? Of course, when he starts to feel more secure. And you guys got a lot of work to do. You got a lot of work to help this child work through this trauma of this loss. You're not missing anything. We need to be able to spend time with our other kids too. Oh, God, goodness gracious, yes. We need to be able to spend time with our other kids too, helping them with their homework or whatever it may be. This, however, makes our newest miserable, which quickly amplifies into ridiculousness. We try to reassure him that we love him so much and we need to help whomever with their homework, and we'll be available in a short while. You got a baby. What would you do with an infant? That's the framework I want you to see. Is you have an infant, you have a stressed out infant, you have a fearful infant. You'd probably put that infant on your lap while you're doing homework with your other children, and you'd give them some crayons so they could be doing some coloring, or you would feed them a little bottle before you got to do some homework, and you would get them busy doing something, but you'd have them right next to you because you're the significant regulatory figure. This child doesn't feel safe without you. Hey there, Wilma. They don't feel safe without you. It's very important to know that. They don't feel safe without you. His ridiculousness seems, regardless of whether or not we've just read, no, it doesn't matter. It's not about the books. It's not about how much time you're spending. It's not about, oh gosh, it's not about how much time you're spending. So, I wrote another book called Oxytocin Parenting. It was an ebook. Might be on eBay. I'm not sure. I can't remember. Oxytocin Parenting. I wrote another book called The Chemist, called, or was that the one I wrote with Susan Kaczynskis? Oxytocin Parenting, I think, is the one I wrote with Susan Kaczynskis. You guys need to read that. Look on Amazon, type in Oxytocin Parenting. I'm not there right now. You're so close and then so far away. See an infant, see an infant, see an infant, see an infant. It's going to take him time. He's got a lot of trauma. He's grieving. There's a lot he's got to try to, there's a lot of making up that has to take care of this, that has to go into to this baby. And stop, think, don't put him on a time frame. You can't put grief on a time frame. You can't put his healing on a time frame. And don't take it personally. You're not doing anything wrong. You're going to have to figure out how to spend time with this child and your other children at the same time, because he's going to feel threatened by anything that's going to take you away from him. Is going to make him feel threatened because he's traumatized at loss. He's got significant loss in his life. And I'm going to leave it at that. These questions have gone way longer than I'm killing the greatest 10-minute parenting show on the planet. I'm just destroying it. I'm turning it into the 20 and 30 minute greatest parenting show on the planet. I hope that helps. I really want you to listen to this a few times. Slow down. It's all going to be okay. Listen to what I'm telling you. It won't take long if you can just see. That's what you got to be able to do. You got to be able to see what it is that I'm telling you. You got a lot of parenting matrix stuff. You got a lot of wool pulled over your eyes about why children do what they do. You got to remove that wool. Okay, you got to take those lens off. Step on them. Put on these lens, these love-based lens that I'm talking about. Okay, put on these love-based lens, and try to quiet some of that, those other voices you got jumping off in your head. And I think it's gonna go a long ways. Good, 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 Brian. I'm glad, Brian and Kendra. So that's it. Remember, in any given situation, listen to me. We always have two choices. We can continue to react from our imprints of stress and fear and overwhelm and classic traditional parenting. Like, we can continue to do that. And we can continue to get more stressed and more overwhelmed, and that's operating out of fear. We can stop, we can slow down, we can take some deep breaths, and we can say, what is this three-year-old that's not really a three-year-old? What is this three-year-old needing? What is this three-year-old needing that I'm not quite getting, that I'm not quite giving to him? The reason that this keeps showing up, and that's choosing love. That's choosing love. Calm our own stress down. NewParentingLoveEvolution.com. NewParentingLoveEvolution, LUTION.com. That's probably going to be where you're going to need to be. You're probably going to need some ongoing support. Read the book three times. Listen to this video three times. Light bulb's going to go off. Read the book, at least read the book twice, listen to the audio at least once, and watch this video three times. Light bulb's going to go off. Boom. We're going to get you on the right track. Check back in with Big Papa in a couple of weeks. Let me know what's going on with you. And that's Terry. That was for you and your husband. God bless each and every one of you. I'm going to go celebrate my mama's birth. I'm not going to tell you her age. She would get upset with me. I'm not going to tell you her age, but I'm going to go celebrate my mama's birthday. Big Papa loves you. Let's see. Tomorrow I am en route. So that's why I wanted to answer these questions, because tomorrow I'm probably going to be in an airport in San Francisco about this time. So it'll be just phone stuff. I won't be able to have my computer here. So we'll see you guys soon. Talk to you later.